I'll call the meeting of the Sussex County Council July 27th meeting to order. The first item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, have you any changes?
Yes. I would suggest that we drop the executive session. We do not have any particular items at this time.
Does council have any other modifications to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve it. Second, please. Motion and a second to approve the modified agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. In your packets this week were the July 20th minutes. Are there any changes? If not, I'll consider them approved. Reading of the correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have one letter, and it is addressed to Councilwoman Joan Deaver. Dear Councilwoman Deaver, over the years, First State Community Action Agency has received enormous support, encouragement, and advice from donors like you who believe in the mission of the agency. We want, first of all, to say thank you for the contributions you have made in the past, but we also like to take the opportunity to say how much we appreciate your participation in our current capital campaign effort to raise $900,000 by 2011. Your contribution of $100 brings us even closer to meeting our campaign goal, completing the critical renovations necessary to fulfilling our mission of helping the poor become self-sufficient. As you may recall, these renovations are necessary for the safety, security, and overall welfare of the clients and communities we serve. With your financial support, First State will be able to effectively deliver innovative services to better serve more individuals in need, thus creating job opportunities and becoming a stabilizing factor for thousands of low-income individuals, families, and communities during and after the recession. I cannot put into words how grateful First State is for your gift.
Does council have any other correspondence? If not, we'll move on to Mr. Baker.
Okay, good morning. The first item we have is a proclamation to honor Representative V. George Carey, who is here today with his wife, Jeanette. And Representative Carey started in the House of Representatives back in 1984. He was born in Sussex County several years ago. He graduated from Milford High School, and he married Miss Jeanette Messick, who is here today from Milton. They have farmed throughout for years. They have three children. Representative Carey served on the Bond Bill Committee, Natural Resources Committee, Agriculture Committee, Banking and Insurance Committee. And he and Jeanette have also served many chicken and dumpling dinners over those 26 years. And we'd like to ask Representative Carey, who's always represented Sussex County very well, and I know he's always been available in my few years as county administrator. I know Mr. Godwin and I both appreciate all your assistance and everything you've done for Sussex County. And we have a tribute proclamation to honor Representative V. George Carey, whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize Delawareans for their outstanding accomplishments and contributions to the state and to Sussex County. And whereas V. George Carey is a native Sussex County and lifelong farmer from Milford, and whereas V. George Carey has proudly and tirelessly served his community and his state as a longtime member of the Delaware General Assembly, as well as through various civic and agricultural organizations. And whereas V. George Carey was first elected to the Delaware House of Representatives in 1984, representing the 36th district that includes Milton, Ellendale, Slaughter Beach, and the southern portion of Milford. And whereas V. George Carey spent the next 26 years dutifully serving his constituents, rising through the ranks to serve as a member on the House's Energy, Natural Resources, Bond Bill, and Agricultural Committees. And whereas V. George Carey was instrumental in protecting farming as a way of life in Delaware, notably through his leadership to create Delaware's Agriculture Lands Preservation Program and his sponsorship to reform the state's tax ditch system to ease right-of-way encroachment problems. And whereas V. George Carey has the distinction of being one of the few working farmers serving in the General Assembly whose firsthand knowledge has brought valuable insights toward the preservation and advancement of agriculture in the state of Delaware. And whereas V. George Carey's more than two decades of service in the House of Representatives will end with his retirement in 2010 at the conclusion of the 145th Delaware General Assembly. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends V. George Carey for his public service to the people of Delaware, particularly the farming community of Sussex County, and proclaims Tuesday, July 27, 2010, as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor his achievements.
Mr. Carey, Mrs. Carey, would you like to come forward, please?
Did you say Mrs. Carey, too?
Yeah, of course. She makes you look good.
She's the one who got me elected, you know. Right, John?
That's right.
Never done beat me. Shot me.
Sir, I really appreciate everything you've done for Sussex County, for the agriculture community, and for your constituents. You've been a great leader in the state of Delaware. You're going to be sorely missed. I don't know how they'll survive without you. I'm sure you want to do this.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going back and run this year. And I'm not coming back as a lobbyist either.
Well, you're a rare breed.
I appreciate that. My wife says that same thing. What I do want to say is, I saw Mr. Baker that.
Thank you all.
Why don't you get right back to the microphone?
Why don't I get to the mic? When Mr. Baker was reading that, I saw he used it politically correct. He said, for many, has been born many years. He didn't put in number in there. Well, I'm 82, and my wife will be 80 August the 24th. Wow. We've been married 62 of those years. And 26 of them I've spent in the legislative hall, and like I said, I wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for my wife. And I've been on the bond bill for 26 years, and my district, when you read it all, when I started, it was much wider than it is now. Just the opposite from my body. I'm slimmer, my district's slimmer there than it used to be. My body is not. I mean, my district is. But I used to go over to Covers Crossroad, and being on the bond bill, I remember a lot of things here in Georgetown. I come within the circle, within a half mile of the circle. And a lot of these buildings I remember working on to get done. One of the main ones was Jack Owens. You remember at the Owens campus? Jack was one who was always after your pocketbook. And for a reason, too. I mean, a good reason. At first, it was a trade and industry building. We got that going. And before we got that done, he asked for a higher education building, which we need very badly. And Jack says, get a little money in there and see if you can get that started. And we did that. But I remember standing on the bond bill there that day. We were $9 million over, so we began to take monies out. You know how that works. You had to take monies out to balance the budget. And a gentleman come in from upstate, Senator, that's one thing I'm leaving. It leaves your mind. Anyway, he come in and says, I want $300,000 for White Cake Creek. It was Senator Martin. And I had just done dropped my $600,000 to get the higher education building. So I put a motion in to put back $300,000 and got 7 votes, so we got started on that. So sometimes you have to come a little, I guess you'd say contrary, but not contrary, but work together to get things done. So it's been a great experience. I'm going to miss it. But as I say, 26 years, and I repeat this, you've been to my fundraiser, not fundraisers, but retirement. I've lived through the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, communication age I can't hack. The email, it doesn't have the character to it. I like to speak to you in person. And face mail, my body's too old to show naked anymore, so I don't use that. So I'm just saying, it's come a time, and as I said to Mr. Baker a while ago, it might be the two S's, stubbornness and stupidity, that I'm not going that way. But I am retiring, and I'm still going to be on the farm, get up in the tractor when I can, but they're getting them much taller, too. Used to, you could step one step and be in that little Ford Ferguson, but now you have to get several steps. But I found out one thing. It's greater to retire than it is to die in office. I would never know none of these benefits or how much you thought of me if I died. But I appreciate this very much. And thank you for having me here today, and
yes,
all of you. You did a great job for our county.
I believe Mr. Moore has a few things to share with you. Everett?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I asked the President if I could say a few comments, because in some of my previous roles, I've worked with Representative Kerry since 1985. And during that period of time, through many election cycles, I could tell when we were getting close to an election, because I would get many calls from Jeanette saying, "The opposition's saying something nasty about George. What are we going to do about it?" And I said, "Just hold on, Jeanette. He'll be okay." And George always was okay, because he was very nonpartisan in this district, because he believed that he represented all the people in the district, not people of just one party, and that always showed. And you did not see George in a lot of the different partisan events that may take place through the county, because he truly believed that it was nonpartisan once he was elected. And one of the things he mentioned, the Dell Tech, when we went through the first reapportionment, when I was chair, we were working on that, and George was absolutely adamant. He did not care that Dell Tech, he could still work for Dell Tech even if it wasn't in his district, because he demanded, "I want the Dell Tech building in my district." And for a while, Dell Tech, the building, stayed in his district for that reason, because he considered that a special project, and the needs of the people of Sussex County, he saw that we needed the higher education here. So George, all the years I've worked with you, I appreciate it. It was always great to work with you and Jeanette, and you're a true gentleman. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Everett.
The real truth there, George, you didn't want Dell Tech. The real truth was you wanted me in your district. I knew what it was.
Well, I knew you'd find out after a while, Sam. No, I appreciate that. And as Everett did say, you might see on my signs they were carrying, they didn't have, I'm not saying this in a bad way, didn't have the elephant on it, or they didn't have that jackass looking backwards. It was represent. It didn't say represent Republicans, or it didn't say represent Democrats. It just said represent, and that's what I try to do to most of my people. The biggest help I had is my wife. She made me make most of the return calls, and some of them were to Joan Deaver. And Joan and I always got along good, and she was, I guess, a lobbyist up there at that time. If I could get Joan laughing, you know, I could have her on my side somewhat. Not all the time, but appreciate that, and it's been a great experience. Been a great experience, and Sam, appreciate your help. I swear, everybody, like I said, you've been a great thing to the county. The county's been good, and
I think some others may have something to share with you, Mr. Vincent.
Yeah, I just want to publicly.
If you want to, I mean, I'm not here.
No, you sit right there, George. I'd like to publicly tell a little story about George Kerry and the kind of person he is. And thanks to George Kerry, there's a fire school in this county out here on the airport.
Yeah, remember it.
A long time ago, the fire service asked for a building put down here to train our people, which is closer than Dover, for that kind of thing. And had to go through the bond bill process. So it was on their agenda one evening. As some of you probably know how that works up there, they go in private quarters and then come out and vote in public. And we were up there at 11 o'clock at night, and they came out and saw us. They went back in the room, and they came back in. So about 1:30, they decided we're going to stay all night, so they're going to vote anyway, I guess. And there were that night, the bond bill, there were six and six, six Ds, six Rs. And obviously, it takes seven votes. So the motion was made by a Democrat, and second, to approve money for this facility out here. And they called the roll, and around the Democrats, for some reason, voted first. We had six votes. And the Republicans started voting. And every one of them voted not voting, which is the same as a no vote, but not voting. The last man standing was George Kerry. And I can see it right now. George looked down that table with those Republicans and looked back in the back room with us standing there at 1:30 in the morning and voted for it. And because of George Kerry, that building's out there. and the fire service of this county is much better off for it. So, George, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And I think, it, like you said, it's something the fire company, the volunteer fire companies is something we, when I travel around or whatever and say we have volunteer fire companies, people just say, you mean volunteer?
Yeah.
Yes, they're volunteer. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot to the state of Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else got anything to say for me?
I'll just say,
I'll take all the praise.
George, I'll just say thanks for the memories.
Thanks for the memories.
Thank
thanks for the
you memories. For your hard
thank
work.
For the memories.
Thank you for all the years.
And I appreciate it very much. And thank you all sitting back there. I don't know how many is in my district, but I do say, I'll tell another story. And now you've heard this over and over. I go to Harrington Fair, that state fair, that tells how old I am. And this gentleman in comes up to me and says, Representative Curie, there by the grain, says, I vote for you every year. I said, thank you for it. I said, where do you live? He said, the Ridges of Maryland. I've never told him any difference yet. Of course, he might be dead and still voting. I don't know. Anyway, I appreciate that. And thank you, guys, Chairman.
George,
Holly.
Representative Curie, I'm always grateful that you had the doors open. I always went in to see you many times on many bills. And
yeah, absolutely.
We had a lot of discussions about them. And most of the time, practically all the time, we was on the same page. So,
and
I'm very conservative in your vote.
I'm sorry to say that I'm the only farmer. Senator Adams passed away, and I'm the only farmer who was in the House. And we need more representation. Don't whoever gets elected, certainly remember farming, because farming is the number one business in the state. It used to be farming and chemicals and whatever. But now I think it's farming and tourism and that. But mm-hmm. we need more of that. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Memories. Have a good day. The wife and I are going to leave you, but still I want to stand up, wife. You recognize the best part of me. Really, there wasn't no fight or anything. She was out watering her flowers and stumped her toe. Coming up the steps and fell and broke her arm.
Ooh.
Getting along very good, but I am a nurse, but I'm a little rough getting that sleeve in that blouse when she got a sore arm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
Okay, thank you.
Duty comes on again. We don't have a laugh in politics, we just won't be in it.
Great.
Thank you, George.
See you.
Thank
you, George. Thanks for thank you very much.
Stop sales.
Okay. Might take you up on that.
Yeah. We'll have some chicken.
Got any fresh eggs?
Thank you.
Fresh
appreciate
eggs.
He don't keep the chickens that long.
I don't think he's got laying hens.
Mr. Baker, you may continue.
Yes. Next item is employee of the quarter for Sussex County, and we have with us today the employee as nominated and selected by his peers, Mr. Joseph Pepper from the Emergency Operations Center. And Joey, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium. Joe started on May 12, 1997 as a part-time emergency communications specialist at our Emergency Operations Center. He has been promoted to a full-time emergency communication specialist one, then a two, and then on March 1st, 2007, he was promoted to emergency communication specialist supervisor. He was awarded dispatcher of the year for the state of Delaware on May 7th, 2010, and he has exhibited the qualities that go above and beyond. Another example of his outstanding work ethic is when several years ago he volunteered to take over the responsibility of scheduling dispatchers, and he has done that very well. He fills in for other dispatchers regularly as needed, and we certainly appreciate the hard work, and he certainly is well-deserving of this award.
Thank you.
And we have a tribute. Be it hereby known to all that the Sussex County Council commends Joseph E. Pepper, Emergency Operations Center, Sussex County Employee of the Quarter, second quarter 2010. The Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Joseph E. Pepper on the 27th day of July.
Thank you.
Mr. Pepper. You scared a little bit.
can't schedule mine.
That's why you work on holidays.
No, sir. Thank you.
Joey, congratulations. You did a great job out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh.
Now, Joey don't put enough time into Georgetown Firehouse. You can go down to Millsboro and you can catch him down there on a night or two.
That's right. They were nice.
So
thank you
really,
you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Really a good volunteer.
He's also very light on his feet if you've ever seen him at a party. Right, Robin? Right, Robin? Not a party, but an after, you know, after we leave an event.
I was thinking about you last night.
Light on your feet, aren't you? Yes, sir. No, I don't go out anymore.
Oh, okay. Next item is Sussex County History Book. We have a proposal for your consideration regarding a history book regarding Sussex County, and the proposal would be that the County Council would serve primarily as a fiduciary agent for the book. We have Mr. Dan Parsons here today. Basically, the book would include information regarding approximately 50 historic cultural sites in the county with pictures and information. Would it be also be available electronically on the county's website eventually, and would be available for the schools in the county to teach students about our history. The University of Delaware would provide the research and the content for the book. Preservation Delaware Incorporated, a nonprofit agency, would raise funds to cover the cost of the book. The county would receive the donations and deposit them in a special account and contract with the publisher. The county would serve as a fiduciary agent. However, the county would not assume any financial liability. The county's logo would be on the book, and it would be available on the website. Of course, it would provide information about the history and heritage of the county, assist with heritage tourism throughout the county, and provide a format for the education of county residents. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Parsons.
Well, thank you. I'm here today to ask your support in this endeavor. And basically, we've been meeting several of groups, University of Delaware, Southern Delaware Tourism, Preservation Delaware, as well as the Delaware Heritage Commission. We've been meeting since around March and trying to put together ideas about content for a publication about the county. And I guess it's what we've come up with is we selected 50 historic sites from all over the county. And what we would like to do is put together roughly around 400 words for each site and photographs and put that together in a publication and make that available to the citizens of Sussex County and sell it at the beach and both to encourage heritage tourism and also to educate people about the history and culture of the county. And we're going to start raising money towards the endeavor several different ways, but one way would be if we had a business, for example, a historic business, and they wanted to be in the book, we would do a 400 word spread on that business, and that would be what they would get for their donation. Or we would just go to various businesses and private entities and solicit grants for the project as well. And we have several people here today. If you have any questions about it, I'll try and answer anything you may have, but we have other people as well.
Now, you've passed out a couple, like hardback and softback. What is the intent, hard or soft?
Well, I think the intent is to have a soft cover. I mean,
this one?
Yeah. Okay. Again, these are decisions that have to be made, mm-hmm. depending on how much money we raise. But, this is the publisher we've been talking with about it, and they specialize in doing nonprofit, promotional books for nonprofits, and this Donning publication. And this is the type of product that they put out. Now, obviously, if the county were to support this endeavor, we'd have to solicit two other bids. But what I just wanted to, this is kind of the quality of the book we're looking at doing. And with color photographs and such. And the price of the book would be roughly $20. But the other element of the project, I went out to several middle schools in the area and noticing that there is no historic content from the county in the curriculum. So what we would do, I noticed that they had smart boards in the classroom. So what I did, I had a mapping department kind of lay out the sites on a map, and we could put it in a GIS layer. So a student would be able to go up to the smart board And if, you know, there's a town, they just click, touch the smart board and it opens up the information for them. So it's an interactive way of engaging students. Also, we would make it available through the Heritage Commission on through e-books, and we could have it on the county website. So if a teacher wanted to pick out particular content, they could just go to the website, grab the information, print out that section. So it wouldn't be any cost to the, you know, except for the printing cost of the paper. That would be the only cost that they would have to absorb. That's kind of what, that was the exciting part for me. I actually did a presentation at the Georgetown Middle School to the entire school, and they were really enthusiastic to learn about the history of the town. And I think it would, you know, the students were really excited. And it would, you know, again, educating the people about the history and culture of their home.
Good idea.
And you don't want any money?
No.
Wow.
We just need, like I said, we need an entity to run this through. And the plan initially was to do it through Preservation Delaware, but there's just been a lot of upheaval with the organization, and they have offered to help fundraise for the endeavor, but they were not able to run the funds through their agency. Yeah. So we would just have as like a pass-through.
Let me ask, you said something about a business might be approach you all to get in the book. Okay, do you have any minimal standards? In other words, it may not, what happens if the business that approaches you doesn't have any historical significance?
Well, that, is, yeah.
I mean, I'm just concerned that we might have, you know, we may overlook some businesses that have been around for, you know.
Well, I think it would be the other way around. We would solicit them. I was just thinking like J. Conn Scott or Duke's Lumber, you know, just businesses that have been around for
right.
generations.
Right.
That have been here, and you know, stand.
That's, I mean, that's what I'm just. The question would be: Do you have like say a minimal standard that this business should have to meet to be, you know, to be able to make it to this publication? That's, so I would say, you know, like would it have to be in business for 50 years, 75 years, you know, whatever.
I would say several generations, but we really hadn't gotten.
No, just a thought. I didn't think that, you know, if I'm sitting here reading a book and I come across a business that's been around 20 years, you know, and I'm sitting here going, how come we didn't get these in or these others?
Right.
And it's because they didn't either pay or something. So I just a thought that you might want to look at that,
definitely.
You know, to add to the legitimacy, I guess, of the historical significance of that business.
Is there a place in the book to put something about historic council people?
Yeah.
It's been a long time. We could put a little page in there. I mean,
or generations.
Yeah, for generations. We could,
yes. For $2,500.
Yeah. How much does it take?
We'll do that with George money.
He'll do it as a council man.
I'll talk to Jeanette, see if she wants to lend me some money.
You have a motion or something? Or,
I have
a motion. Some guy got a motion. Okay.
Mr. Baker.
And we do have some representatives here. Would you like to introduce them?
Oh, yes. Christine Thomas from Preservation Delaware. Scott.
Does anybody want to say anything real quick before we... come down. Yeah, come down.
I think Christine might want to say something.
I would just echo what Dan had mentioned and let you know that it's much more than just a book. And the fact that we can interact with the education component is really key. And Councilman Phillips, I had spoken before you all... not too long ago, and you mentioned how do we get more interest on the west side, and I think this is probably a great opportunity to do that. People who are not aware of things in Georgetown, things in Laurel, things in Seaford, here's your opportunity.
There you go.
Great.
Scott Thomas from Southern Delaware Tourism.
Thanks, Dan and Council. Just real fast, I think this book is a great vehicle to echo the sentiments to really get some compelling content together on the tourism side to really generate a lot of interest and curiosity to better connect our towns within Sussex County and to keep travelers interested in wanting to travel around the county more and generating more economic development that way as well. Thank you.
We have Mr. Russ McCabe. We had engaged Mr. History of Delaware, and he's been very instrumental in helping us select the sites and the importance.
Look at him run.
I see. Man,
just want to second everything these folks have said. You all, most of you have been around a long time. Who'd have thought corn cribs and hog pens would be historic? But the relative fact of the matter is that people want to come here and see what we have, which is one of the reasons that folks like us are constantly campaigning to preserve it. And there's a real economic development benefit to that. I mean, there are people that want to get off the beaten path, away from the beach, and a tool like this is huge. And the education element of it, it's true, there's no curriculum really in our public school system or schools in general, as far as I'm aware, that focuses on history of this type at the local level. And I know how proud we all are of it, and I think it's a good project.
Thank you.
So it'll be in libraries?
Sure.
And do we have e-books also?
Yes. Mr. Dick Carter could not be here today. His mother is having surgery, and that's something we had discussed, is using them as a vehicle for the e-books.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sit, he would write a foreword for the publication. And we'd have Mr. McCabe write an introduction. And Dr. Shepherd from the University of Delaware, that's who I'm working with on the publication. She is in having a procedure done today as well. She couldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
But we are having our next meeting about the publication tomorrow, so we can, you know, maybe this will be the spearhead, so we can start gearing up to raise the funds to do it.
On photographs, I was just curious. On photographs, that's going to be awfully important.
Yes.
To get their attention when people start flipping through it. Are you going to start off with fresh photographs, or are you going to use stuff that's already out there? Like, I know Kevin Fleming has done, you know, some remarkable stuff. Is it possible to not, you know, use some of this stuff that's out there that's really good, or are we going to go out and start with some fresh?
Well, I think it's a combination of the two. The University of Delaware would scour the archives for okay. photographs, and then we would go out and do new photographs, you know, kind of a then and now type thing.
Yeah, okay. Because I know that's what usually, you know, when somebody's looking in a bookstore, they start flipping, they see these, you know, extraordinary photographs that makes them want to buy the book.
Well, if Mr. Fleming wants to give us some photos, we'd be more than glad to take them.
Go talk to him, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all I got. Thanks.
Mr. Baker, what have you got?
We have a motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the county government to serve as a fiduciary agent for the development of a book about the history of Sussex County in collaboration with the University of Delaware and the nonprofit group Preservation Delaware Incorporated and the Delaware Heritage Commission.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve Mr. Baker's resolution. Is there any discussion? Take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'll keep you posted.
Great.
So, last item I have is the county administrator's report. First item is foreclosure prevention seminars on Wednesday, July 28th. The county community development and housing department, in conjunction with the state bank commissioner and attorney general, we'll be hosting two foreclosure prevention seminars. The first will be held at the Laurel Public Library from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. The second will be held at the Ocean View Town Hall from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Again, the events are free and open to the public. Homeowners are invited to come at any point during the scheduled times to speak with HUD-approved housing counselors and state representatives. Event staff will discuss new state and federal programs and other options available to help homeowners struggling with their mortgages, as well as the foreclosure timeline in Delaware. For more information, please call 302-855-777.
So far, what's the indication on turnout so far?
They have been rather successful with these. They've had a number of these seminars throughout the county, and they have been fairly well attended.
Well attended, okay.
Yes.
Good, okay.
We also had one a few weeks ago in this chamber to explain the mortgage programs. It was a little bit different focus to try to explain the state mortgage programs that are available through the bonds. Next is Delaware Solid Waste Authority report. As per the attached reports for April, May, and June, over 18,000 pounds per month of recyclable material was collected at the recycling center at the West Complex parking lot. Next is Sussex County, featured on the Weather Channel. Sussex County and its response to the most recent round of extreme heat were featured briefly on the Weather Channel on Saturday, July 24th. The county's public information officer, Mr. Chip Guy, conducted a live on-air telephone interview with meteorologist Scott Williams during the Saturday morning program, Weekend View, to discuss steps the county was taking in preparation for the triple-digit heat. Three county libraries, South Coastal, Milton, and Greenwood, were designated as cooling stations for the public to use. County paramedics visited the locations as time permitted to answer heat-related questions. Meantime, the 100-degree heat weather this past weekend kept our EMS units busy. Paramedics responded to at least 15 related calls between Friday, July 23rd and July 25th. Since the week of June 20th, our paramedics have responded to a total of 36 calls in which heat exposure was the primary complaint. Public suggestions for the 2011-2017 Capital Transportation DLDOT budget. This is the reminder that this is the final week for the public to offer suggestions for the upcoming five-year capital transportation program request, which the County Council will submit to DLDOT in September. Residents and property owners with ideas for improving roads, walkways, public transportation, other related infrastructures can go to the county's website to submit their suggestion, and the link is right there on the website under transportation ideas. Submissions will be accepted through this Friday, July 30th. The administration will review the suggestions and compile a draft report for County Council's consideration in late August before submitting it to DLDOT.
Have we been getting any?
Yes.
We received at this point about 50.
50?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. And we'll take those through five.
The next is employee benefit vacation house raffle. Two county employees have won the chance to enjoy some downtime at the beach this August after winning recent vacation raffles.
In Reno?
The county's benefit committee in June sold tickets for two raffles, one for a week's stay at Bethany Beach, the other for a week's stay at St. Augustine, Florida. The winner of Bethany Beach was Donna Mowbray in the Planning and Zoning Office, and the winner of the St. Augustine vacation was Pat Brown from the Greenwood Library. The raffles raised $643 for the benefit committee, which is about $200 more from last year when a similar raffle was held. Proceeds will help the benefit committee pay for employee events and other projects, and especially the Needy Family Fund. We wish to thank
Who offered those trips?
Oh, wait, I'm not done reading yet. Wait.
Just my way of helping.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I thought you were
Councilman
finished.
We thank Councilman George Cole. His generous offer of properties at Bethany and St. Augustine made the raffle possible, and that's the second year he's offered that.
Well, it was hard to
read. Always appreciate that.
It was my way of helping the employees.
You're so kind, George. Thank you.
I know.
Thank you.
Makes me warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
20 years paid off. I
wonder how much. All right, Mr. Hal Godwin. Mm-hmm.
Mr. President, members of council, I'd like to report to you that a couple of years ago, some of you may remember that I reported to you the content of a meeting that Mr. Baker and I had with two very concerned citizens of our county, they being Patty Grimes from the Freeman Companies and Karen McGrath, who was then with the Bethany Fenwick Island Chambers of Commerce. From that meeting, there were a number of suggestions made dealing with the economic issues of our county. That was the subject of discussion in that meeting, and I reported to you then that a new organization of volunteers had been arranged and assembled to study how the economy might be best enhanced and what our natural features are here in Sussex County. That organization's name is the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee. They're an all-volunteer group. They've worked very hard. I've attended most of their meetings on studying and analyzing the economy here and what might be done to improve it. A number of very talented volunteers have come together to work on this committee. Some of the names will be very familiar to you. What I wanted to do today was simply to remind you of that event a couple of years ago and also allow Patty Grimes, our operations guru. Patty, we don't call her chairman, but she certainly acts like a chairman. She does most of the very hard work and keeps us all together with communication. I wanted to introduce Patty Grimes to you and let her speak with you about some new hopes that CEDAC has. Patty? I'm going to give you a handout while she's coming up.
Thank you. Thank you, Hal. Good morning, Councilman, President. It's good to be back after a few years, and as Hal said, we wanted to update you on the progress of CDAC, the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee, and I know Councilwoman Joan Devers actually had the opportunity to come and participate in one of our meetings last year. Progress is occurring. As you may recall, our mission is to leverage the experience, intellect, and creativity of the Sussex County community to create sustainable economic prosperity. We do want to be the premier economic development action organization in Sussex County, and not from an ego standpoint, but more from collaboration, support, and partnerships within our county. We are seeking mechanisms to provide public and private funding for the retention of existing businesses here in Sussex County, as well as expanding and attracting new businesses. The reason that we're here today is that we realized after 2 years where we're getting our feet on the ground, we're learning more about the county, we're learning a lot about how other counties and organizations that are seeking economic funding get together, is we wanted you to sort of be the first to know that we plan on organizing ourselves as a 501c3 nonprofit organization so that we can provide funding sources to either new businesses or existing businesses and fostering the entrepreneurial spirit in Sussex County. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But before I do that, I wanted to let you know that we have 24 folks on our committee as of today. Those incorporate education, government, and businesses. And certainly right here in Sussex County, we're pleased and very proud of the support we've gotten from Dave Baker, Hal Godwin, and especially Julie Wheatley. In addition, today we have some folks in the from the business community that are here to also support me in my presentation. And I'd like for everyone who's actually a CDAC member to stand in the audience so that the County Council can see the support. So we have Ernie Felici from the Commonwealth Group, Bill McGowan from University of Delaware, Nancy Moore from Energy, Blue Wind, Water and Wind, and Scott Thomas from Southern Delaware Tourism. Thank you so much. Of course, Hal, Julie, and Dave. So what have we been doing for the last couple years? We actually were formed from the thought of the Today and Tomorrow Conference in Sussex County. At that time, I was president of the Bethany Fenwick Chamber, and I was inspired by some of the stories from very successful business folks and how they reached out, collaborated, and found resources within the county to move their businesses forward and to bring other businesses along with them. And that's how we started with Karen McGrath. At that time, was the executive director. We met with Dave and Hal. And from there, we formed CDAC. We have a written work plan, which I will not bore you with all those details, but it is a strategic plan that gives us room to grow into over the next 5 years. We've done a lot of due diligence, and I know we have this acronym, and it says the word action in it, and sometimes our members get very frustrated because they say, we need to do something, and our action has really been around understanding how to best practices and to benchmark against folks like meeting with Denise McLeish and Lisa Fitzgerald from the USDA Rural Development, who can provide a tremendous amount of expertise and grant opportunities for us. Dan Keenan, who's a real guru on setting up these 501c3 nonprofits at the University of Maryland and their Rural Development Center. We met with them. And then finally, we're using a benchmark from the Kent Economic Partnership, who got their 501c3 status this year. And you may know of Dan Wolfensberger, who was very instrumental in making that effort happen. So our first step in a 501c3 is actually creating bylaws. We've done that. And at our last CDAC meeting, they have been adopted by our committee. Mr. Baker actually has a copy of those bylaws if you're interested in seeing them. Again, our benchmark for those were from the Kent Economic Partnership. We've initiated website development so that we can host a website that really pulls in some critical information, but at the same time points folks who are interested in coming into the area and existing businesses to sort of be a portal to go to these other resources that are already existing in the county. We hope to have that launched by the fall of this year. We have hired a grants writer in anticipation of getting our 501c3 status so that we can move forward with some initiatives to receive some funding. The good news for the council is that we're not here to ask for any money today. We're asking for support and more from an ideology standpoint, because we feel like as a 501c3, we will be able to be a funder to other companies and also to local businesses who may need leadership training and business expansion opportunities. To that point, we've worked with the University of Delaware, and we've created a resourceful leadership program. Our first inaugural program just ended, and there is a commitment by the folks who participated in that program to bring 10 new jobs to the county by the end of the year. And finally, our partnership and support in the county has resulted in three initiatives that I know that the county council is aware of. Number one, the Civic Conference Center and Exploration that's in Bridgeville, Delaware. Linda Parkowski came to a CDAC meeting, talked about tourism and the initiatives and strategies that they are seeking. From that, we created some meetings with Linda, and we're focusing now in assisting her with that initiative in Bridgeville, Delaware. Again, the Commonwealth Group with Bob Ruggio and Ernie Felici working on the King Farm and the industrial expansion here in Sussex County. And then finally, we've been working with the University of Delaware and Selbyville with the broadband initiative. So a lot of things have been happening in the last 2 years. What are our next steps? First and foremost, we wanted to come before you today and let you know what we're doing and why we are applying for a 501c3 status. With our bylaws adopted, we will now move forward with the application with the blessing of the County Council. We will be formalizing our board and officers that we hope to have completed by our September meeting. We are going to be hiring a part-time executive director. That is very important. As a volunteer organization with 24 folks, we need someone who really can take the ball and execute on these day-to-day things to keep action moving in the county. We are going to continue our resourceful leadership program to grow leaders in Sussex County who are interested in business and the growth in the county, and that is a partnership with the University of Delaware. Our website, as I said, is going to be launched this fall, and we're going to continue to refine our work plan from a tactical standpoint and make sure that it's evolving and fitting into the strategies of Sussex County. Finally, I think what I wanted to share with the County Council is a few of us were talking the other day is we feel like our concerns are very similar and parallel paths with you folks as county fathers. You know, we want to increase the tax base, broaden this share of our tax burden, and we will accomplish this through addressing rising unemployment rates, evaluating lowering than average incomes, reducing an over-reliance on tourism and agriculture, although they are the backbone. We need to grow that other opportunities like industry in our county. Direct our energies towards pursuing emergency small business growth. Small business is the backbone of Sussex County. We don't see that changing in any way, but how can we encourage retention and growth of small businesses? Laying the ground for healthcare opportunities. With an aging population in Sussex County and our wonderful low real estate taxes where we're getting an influx of an older population, it's important for us to grow the healthcare opportunities here in the county, and also provide a path for aviation and aerospace, because it's certainly a well-rooted and grounded industry that is already successful in Sussex County. So, you know, we're going to leave the budget cycle, increasing revenue and reducing spending, to you, and we'll take on those other things. And through our diverse membership, which again includes the government, includes education and businesses, and also representation from all areas and geographies in the county, we feel that we will have a platform that we can continue to partnership and collaborate with not only the government of Sussex County, but all of the existing businesses. So that is what we've been doing for the last 2.5 years. We come before you today to share this experience with you, to inform you of our plans to move forward with the 501c3 status, and to elicit any feedback or suggestions that the council may have.
Council have any feedback?
On the hiring and the, of your grants writer, I guess part-time stuff, but you got the funding to...
Yes, sir.
Sufficient funding to do all that.
Yeah.
And where does it come from?
We're getting grants through the University of Delaware at this point.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the update. Any action required?
No actions required. I would just like to thank Patty and the group for their voluntary efforts. They're certainly very dedicated, and they are all doing this on their own time, and we certainly appreciate it. And I know Julie has been attending, and Hal have been attending most of the meetings. I've been to some, and it certainly is an excellent venue, and hopefully we can all work together and improve the economy here.
Thank you.
Yeah, the goals sound wonderful. Sound right on target.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank our committee as well.
I just wanted to add a plug in for Julie Wheatley, because she is on our staff, of course, and she attends all the meetings, and I would like to let Julie come up. She'd like to just give you a few words on how her office has been interfacing with CEDAC to keep both entities tuned in. Julie, do you want to say anything?
She's on Facebook, too. Oh, is it?
The IT department doesn't let us do Facebook. LinkedIn.
Yeah. That's what it is.
What I wanted to say was that I really appreciate what CEDAC has done, and we've worked in parallel, as we've been saying. But as the economic development budget has been cut and through constraints of the economy, I don't know how we would have progressed as much as we have without CEDAC and that team behind us. Also wanted to mention that the state, members of the state, and myself, we're ex officio members, so we'll be involved in it, but not directly involved with the membership of it. So we'll continue to work in parallel. And I wanted to find out if you had any questions for me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Julie.
Okay. Mr. Mike Izzo.
Good morning. I'm here to discuss the airport tie-down project that we've discussed on several previous occasions. I have a packet that's being handed out, some information about what we are proposing at this time. The option that we're presenting today is an option that would allow for 13 tie-downs to be constructed. The advantages, and I'll go over all the particular advantages, but you do have a layout of what we're proposing. You can see that layout, it's more of a nested layout that is significantly different than what you had seen in the past. If you turn to sheet number 2, we have some comparisons of what we had presented in the past. Option number 1 was the option that was bid in April. At that time, we bid 18 tie-downs. The total cost of that project was $444,000. Unfortunately, the value per tie-down was high, $24,600 for each tie-down. We then looked at another option, just looking at reducing the overall capital cost, and we basically used the same layout, just reducing it from 18 tie-downs to 10 tie-downs. The cost of that is $275,000. Again, a very high cost per tie down.
Basically, everything was the same as the 18, just going to a smaller project, basically. Through our airport advisory committee, we actually had an option number 3 submitted, would be a non-paved tie-down alignment. We could provide 8 tie-downs, however, it was easily expandable, so the number could be increased by any amount. Capital costs, very small, well, relatively speaking, small, $151,000. But again, the dollars per tie-down is $18,916 per tie-down. So council directed us to go back and come back with a project that would be less than $250,000, and we believe we've done that. The advantages of this option number 4, again, it's a more efficient layout. Basically, we're able to get more tie-downs with having less pavement. It also avoids, because we're setting it back from the existing taxiway, we don't have to do the lighting upgrades that would have been required with the initial alignment. So we have a significant savings there. And also, based upon some comments from Councilman Wilson, we reduced the pavement section from 4 inches to 2 inches, so it's more like a parking lot. One other advantage that comes about just from this particular design, it's much more easy to expand if we ever wanted to in the future. Not saying that we're coming back with a proposal next year, but at some time in the future, this alignment would be more easily expandable. And again, and perhaps most importantly, it meets the $250,000 cap that the council had given to us for this project. I'm not sure if a motion is needed for us to proceed, but I do have one that I could read.
I say read it.
Yes.
Your motion.
Okay, be it moved that the engineering department be directed to prepare and bid plans and specifications for the tie-down apron expansion project depicted by option number 4 as presented to the County Council on July 27, 2010.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the engineering plan to move forward with the tie-down options. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yeah.
I vote yes.
Motion Thank you. Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rizzo. Grant request, Ms. Webb.
Thank you. First one today, the Old Timers Softball League.
What do we usually give them?
Oh, we got that in half, didn't we?
It's a county. Is this countywide, these Old Timers?
Yes, it is a county.
Yeah, they are.
Did you give them 500 before?
Typically, before we've done 100 apiece.
100 apiece.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Give the Old Timers 100 each. Any discussion?
I can identify with that group. Can't you, Sam?
I don't play ball, so I don't need the $100.
Ms. Deaver?
You should.
Mr. Wilson?
You should.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson, are you voting?
Yes.
Oh, I vote yes. Motion carried.
The Seaford Historical Society.
And they're looking for 7, I think?
They're looking for $7,098 for a historic marker they're putting in Concord.
And exhibits, okay.
As an exhibit.
Make a motion to give them $3,500 from my account.
And a second, please.
Second.
Motion and a second. Give $3,500 from Mr. Vincent's account to Seaford Historical Society. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The Laurel Public Library.
I want to table that till next week. You can check on how we're going to deal that money.
There's something we're working on that. Town of Blades for the night out.
They asked, I think, 500?
Yes, they did.
Make a motion, $500 from my account.
Second, please.
Second.
Motion and second to grant $500 from Mr. Vincent's account to the Town of Blades for the National Community Night Out. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
That's it. Thank you.
Proposed ordinances, Mr. Moore?
Mr. President, there are none.
There is no additional business from the public. Does council have anything to share before we...
I get a lot of calls about abandoned homes, and there was a news article this morning on NPR about West Rehoboth having a lot of abandoned homes, and some reference was made to our code, which and the inference was that we're not fully covering it, the situation at the county. So I think, should we look at it? How are we handling these abandoned homes? I'm a little concerned. I get a lot of calls.
Must be something to do with your neighborhood.
Mr. Baker will...
Rogers used to always get a lot of calls.
Mr. Mm-hmm. Baker will take it under advisement. Anything else from the council? If not, I'll entertain a motion to recess until 1:30 for public hearings.
So move you.
Second, please. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.